Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, here to tell you about my podcast called Search Engine, voted one of the best new podcasts by Time Magazine, Vogue, and The Economist. We answer fascinating questions about business, tech, and history. Questions like, who should be in charge of artificial intelligence? Or, how did ADHD medication get so popular so fast? Listen and follow Search Engine with PJ Vogt and Odyssey Podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rick Dayton on the radio, 4:06 in the afternoon, and we are joined now by Clay Jacobs, who has been a frequent contributor to the program, executive director of the Alzheimer's Association of Greater Pennsylvania. Clay, it is good to have you back on the program. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. It's an important time of year as the Alzheimer's Facts and Figures report has just come out. And I love having you on as these things are just sort of coming down as brand new information, because you have a way of sort of boiling these things down for us. And not all of us who pay attention to these things, but not as closely as you do, can really understand sometimes a little shift here or there can make a huge difference for a family that's dealing with Alzheimer's or early onset or dementia, etc. So we count on you to help us to sort of ferret through some of those important innuendos that are there. What are some of the things that you think are critically important that are coming out of the Facts and Figures report today?
Well, thank you. And this report really looks at national and state-by-state statistics on disease prevalence, mortality, caregiving, the dementia care workforce, and more. And so there are certainly some things as we look at this shows this year that more Americans have Alzheimer's disease, deaths are increasing, and it's continuing to rise in costs. But then also one of the special reports was really around mapping a better future for dementia care navigation, talking about how we can improve things for all these families living with the disease. And so that's one of the most exciting pieces of it this year for me.
It's a little sobering, however, when you say more people have it, that deaths are increasing, costs are higher. I mean, you look at those things and you say, well, wait a second. I thought we were making progress. I thought that there were some new drugs that have been approved by the FDA that are suggesting that they can slow the advancement of this. And yet at the same time, it shows that we still have a long way to go, doesn't it?
It does. And in Pennsylvania, that's particularly acute just because of the number of people impacted. Right, over 282,000 people are living with Alzheimer's. There are 465,000 caregivers providing one of the highest average hours per caregiver in the country. All of these things come into play when we talk about healthcare, though, and systems, because all of those people that are accessing from diagnosis at primary care and access to services throughout the course of the disease. And so the challenge is great, which is why some of the data that looks at, okay, what is that real impact? What can we do about it? What does it look like here in Pennsylvania is so important, because it gives us a blueprint and the rationale for all the things that we need to do to make the most of those treatments and advances in care.
These caregivers that you're looking at, the 450,000 plus caregivers in Pennsylvania who are working with the 282,000 patients or those who have these issues, how many of those are full-time caregivers? Or are these people who are working 10 hours a day and then they come home and they then have to switch hats and become the caregiver, in which case there is no break? There really is no rest for them. Do you have that breakout? Is that available anywhere?
So this very specifically is for all of the above. So these are non-professional caregivers. These are friends and family caring for loved ones.
Yeah.
And so that's different in each case, right? It may be that it is full-time and or after, I mean, regardless, it's full-time. And that's one of the things the report shows is that these family and friend caregivers, not only are the numbers staggering, but the impact on them. The report showed that 76% of them have chronic health conditions themselves, and over 30% are dealing with depression. So to your questions, it's all of the above, but it also means that they're not spending time on themselves because they are doing this really important work of caregiving for someone living with dementia.
Why is Pennsylvania such a big state when it comes to the prevalence of it? It's more, I think, than the fact that we simply have an aged population, isn't it? That there are things that perhaps are saying this is another reason why we may have more of it. Has anyone been able to put their finger on that yet?
I think a lot of that you do look at, it does tie to population. Certainly there's some things going on. There's a proposal from the governor to establish a division of Alzheimer's disease and a Senate bill with it that'll look at really localized data. But a lot of PA's data aligns with our aging population. Some of the caregiver data aligns with that. Many of our families either stay in the same communities or stay within the state, right? And so they're more likely to provide care because they are in the same neighborhoods or cities, or they're traveling to be with their loved ones. And we see that anecdotally. So there are a couple of things that point to it, but it goes to the way our communities connect. And while that is the challenge, it's also one of the things we see as the strengths, because that is when folks come together. When we talk about navigating care, it is in the communities where people live. And that's one of the things I think will make a difference as we look ahead for Pennsylvanians.
Visiting with Clay Jacobs, again, Executive Director, Alzheimer's Association of Greater Pennsylvania, talking about their Disease Facts and Figures report, which was just released a few hours ago today here on the 20th of March. There are some reasons, however, to have optimism. And I'd like for you to be able, because we can get bared down and bogged down with some of these things and say, well, boy, how do we move forward? What do we do? But there are some reasons to be optimistic, aren't there?
I would think so. And at the very least, gives us a blueprint of what we need to do. The special report this year talked to healthcare professionals and families, and we saw those things, right? Dementia caregivers experience difficulty and stress interacting with health systems, and the cost and care coordination are stressors for them. But we also saw healthcare workers, unfortunately, saying the same, right? 60% saying that the systems aren't equipped to effectively help patients and their families, or, you know, over 70% identify lack of community resources as a barrier. But the positive side of that is it gives us the what do we need hearing from those dealing with it. We also saw in it that many of those healthcare workers are providing services above and beyond around care navigation because they care about the patients and the families they're seeing. And so, right, I think it's one of those cases, and it highlights in the data, is that people are doing the best they can, but there's so much more we could be doing together. And I think we talk about some of the things underway with local providers at a statewide level, with things like 24/7 helpline was actually identified as one of the most helpful services. There are lots of things, but there's still more work to be done.
Is the cost of care being reined in at all? Meaning that if you talk about a memory care facility, you talk about areas of skilled care for people who are dealing with these sorts of diseases, is that being reined in at all?
There are certainly efforts, and I think that the interesting kind of balance that goes through it is it goes everything from workforce development and training and staff retention, all of those pieces. One of the things we're seeing as really a trend in dementia care is tiered reimbursement. And so we probably don't have enough time to go on all of it, but it is this idea that the cost of care for someone living with dementia may be higher, right, to provide quality care. And so the reimbursement and coverage and things that are supportive in there is important. Just the same as there have been new grants and facts that the association's leading the way on, providing innovations in respite care. So when people are living at home, are we doing more for covered services that help provide respite? And so that whole ecosystem of how do we support someone from their point of diagnosis through is changing. And I think for one of the first times in my tenure with the association, you're seeing some incredible innovation happening, both locally, statewide, and across the country that hopefully makes its ways to more and more homes in the coming years.
Clay, thank you for shedding some light on these new findings. And even though they may not necessarily give people great cause for optimism, that shows that it's a lengthy march sometimes. And we just have to continue taking steps in that direction until we finally get to where we want to be, right?
Absolutely. And what it does is it shows that there's power. All these families that are impacted, we should expect to get an accurate diagnosis. We should expect the best in care. And so being able to lift up those stories and those voices is what will make the change we hope to see.
Well, Clay, thank you for the work that you and the Alzheimer's Association do, not only here in Greater Pennsylvania, but around the country, to continue to help not only these families, but also the caregivers who spend so much of their time, effort, and resources to be there with their loved ones. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for everything.
Great
we appreciate
stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Clay Jacobs, again, Executive Director, Alzheimer's Association, Greater PA.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, here to tell you about my podcast called Search Engine, voted one of the best new podcasts by Time Magazine, Vogue, and The Economist. We answer fascinating questions about business, tech, and history. Questions like, who should be in charge of artificial intelligence? Or how did ADHD medication get so popular so fast? Listen and follow Search Engine with PJ Vogt and Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.